Hey, this is WTOP's Jason Fraley, and we are being joined by just say your name and your title.
My name is Randy Nguyen Ta, and I play Manford in The Great Leap.
And The Great Leap is running at Roundhouse Theater in Bethesda, Maryland, now through December 5th. Hey, thanks so much for joining us, man.
Yeah, thanks for having me. This will be fun.
Yeah, definitely. All right. Well, you and I know what it's about, but before we, you know, our listeners probably don't. So tell them the basic premise.
The basic premise of the play. Okay. This is a little tricky because there are a lot of twists and turns in the plot and discoveries made. But simply put, it is about, it's a basketball play. It's a story about the coaches and the players. And it's with China's history. And there's a lot of themes of purpose and family.
Right. And so when is it set, and what, you know, what college does it deal with?
It's set in 1989, and it sets that one of the coaches is from the University of San Francisco.
Okay, cool. So the University of San Francisco basketball team travels to China for, they call it what, they call it a friendship game?
Correct. It's something that these two coaches made 18 years prior to the present time.
Okay, cool. And then, who exactly is your character?
Yeah, my character, his name is Manford Lum. He is a very reckless, rambunctious kind of guy, kind of does things without thinking first. He's just like a very, very straight arrow, and he just doesn't know when to give up.
Gotcha. So he talk about his relationship with his coach, Saul. Like, doesn't he sort of talks his way to get on the team?
Yeah, correct. There's a lot of circumstances that puts him into this spot where he needs to join his basketball team so he can go to China and play this game. So he doesn't have a built relationship with Saul. The play actually opens up with him trying to get on the team. And then it kind of just culminates from there. And yeah.
Gotcha. And then there's another coach. I guess he's their Chinese translator, Wen Chang. Talk about, your character's relationship with him, or how does the translator factor into the story?
How does the I guess, this is one of those plays that just throws curveballs, and I just don't know what to say exactly.
Yeah, so we don't want to spoil it. Yeah.
Right. I guess, like, to simply put, what is his relationship? I guess all I can say is that he is the head coach of the Beijing team, and Manford really wants to meet the team and him at this game.
Gotcha. Yeah. Thank you for not spoiling anything. We'll leave it at that. Well, cool. Well, I know, talk about sort of, so obviously we got the basketball stuff, which will be cool for basketball fans and non-basketball fans. Sports stuff is inspiring for everybody, but talk about also, sort of the social backdrop, because, you know, when your character lands in Beijing, it's right at the time of a very, how should we say, a very historic moment in China.
Right. I didn't learn about this in school, but it's a part of China's history that China actually has scrubbed from their history books. So a lot of folks in China actually don't even know about what has happened about this time that the play is commenting about. But if you just Google Tiananmen Square, China, it was a huge protest that was led by students in 1989. And I guess, to simply put, there's a lot of factors that came into play, but the students were protesting. They wanted freedom of speech. They wanted democracy, and things escalated very bad. And the government's basically forced them out, and emphasis on forced. You can Google it, and you can see all the aftermath and all the pictures and all the videos on what they did to clear them out and to stop this protest. But it is definitely a very unsettling result of what the government did to these protesters.
I know the official death toll is sort of disputed, but I know it was at least probably several hundred. And there's that famous photo of the protester just standing in the middle of the street with, you know, a row of tanks just like rolling right up to him. So yeah, everybody Google Tiananmen Square. And that's wild that they've scrubbed it from their own history books. That's wild.
Yeah. And it was our assistant director. She was studying abroad, and she happened to be in a classroom with two students from China, and one person grew up in the city and one grew up outside of the city. And this topic came up, and the person who grew up in the city did not. And this apparently the conversation led into around this time. And the person from outside the city was telling the whole class about all this history about Tiananmen Square and everything related to it. And the person inside the city was rebuking it very hard. Like, there's no way that could have happened. And it just got very uncomfortable because the person inside the city was, their world was in a sense falling apart of what they thought of how noble and clean China's history was.
Wow. Yeah, exactly. Wow. That's fascinating. And you, who was that? You said that's your assistant director. Who was their name?
Her name was Ashley. Yeah.
Okay, cool. And then some actual experience, seeping its way into the play from your assistant director, but then also the playwright herself, wasn't she, didn't she bring in some of her own father's basketball career into this?
Yeah. Her story. So this play was inspired by her dad playing basketball with his friends, and it wasn't necessarily a friendship game, but they were able to organize kind of like a circuit of games in China. And how their story played out was, you know, her dad isn't a pro basketball player by any means, but he did play a lot with his friends, and they went to China for this tournament series, but they were playing against the best of the best teams in China. So their team just got destroyed game after game, city after city. But she just thought that was like a very interesting, funny premise. And then of course she tied into history and whatnot and made this beautiful play.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, yeah, still a lifetime of memories, even if it's all memories of getting your butt kicked. Well, cool. That's really cool. So yeah, I'm sure the authenticity is there on every page because of, through her dad, but, all right, cool. That's sort of, you know, how she wrote the script, but how is it visualized at Roundhouse? You know, talk about how, you know, like if our listeners show up to see this at Roundhouse, they walk in the theater, like what sort of stuff do we visually see in terms of like a set? Like, you know, how do you recreate a basketball court or all that kind of stuff?
Right. Oh man, the set design is so beautiful. I think what's really cool is that they're trying a lot of different things that I'm not used to. Like, for example, we have a revolve. For listeners who don't know, it's like kind of like we call it the donut amongst the cast, but it's just like a ring that rotates. So that's used in some transitions. There's lots of moving tiles. So that's like very common in theater, but we're also using a projector. And that's also able to bring a lot of images and display it on the tiles. And the projection designer and the light design, they just created such a beautiful image, and it really will take you to everywhere we're trying to take you. I'm very excited for you guys to check it out.
So it will feel like we're looking at a basketball court.
I would say that it's more abstract. Like, for example, there will not be a basketball hoop. I know lots of sets had a basketball hoop, but our director made a very interesting point. She said, in plays, like there's a thing called Chekhov's gun. So if there's a gun written in the play, then the gun shall be used.
If you see it in the first act, it's got to be fired by the end.
Correct. So then in this play, there will not be an actual shot of a basketball going into a basketball hoop, like literally speaking.
Right.
But it's definitely taking the more abstract and stylistic approach.
I've never heard Chekhov's gun applied to a basketball hoop. Thanks, man. Well, very cool. And the, if listeners, you know, want to know what sort of that rotating donut stage that you're talking about. Is it sort of similar to, you know, like, you know, at the end of Hamilton when Aaron Burr and the, you know, they do the famous shootout, they kind of spin around, similar to that.
Yes. Like lots of theaters use it. Yes.
Yeah, it's a really dynamic way to stage stuff. It's really cool. All right, well, dish on you and your you know, your fellow cast members, because it's basically, I mean, I know there's a lot of, you know, people in the creative team and stuff, but in terms of, you know, the cast we see on stage, it's basically sort of like a 4-person show, right?
Correct.
All right, so, you know, dish on your fellow cast members, you know, when they listen to this, make them, you know, smile, brag on them a little bit.
yeah. No, this cast is such a stellar lineup. So just to lead the charge, we got Grant, who it plays Wen Chang, and he's actually done this role before. He's done this at the Pasadena Playhouse, I believe that's what's called, from East West Players, and he actually won an award for his role as Wen Chang. So now he's reprising the role and doing it again here in DC. So that's very exciting. We have Eric, who plays Saul, and he's been a working actor for a long time. I believe he's already done a few productions at the Roundhouse. So he's a returning actor for this theater. And oh man, he's just an amazing actor. I learned so much watching him, and I've learned so much during rehearsal just watching him do the work. And Lois, who plays Connie, she is a current MFA acting student who's in her last year. And what's so nice about having Jen as the director, she's also the head of acting of the University of San Diego, where Lois goes to. So she was able to make it work for her to finish her program, fulfill that requirement by doing this production with us.
Great. And tell me a little, before we run, a little more about you. Like, you know, like, where did you grow up? How'd you get into acting?
Yeah, I grew up in Minnesota, nice. Rochester, Minnesota, with the Mayo Clinic. And I didn't really have like a typical acting route. Like I never went to a performing arts high school, but in middle school, I was involved in plays here and there. I started off as stage crew, like in fifth grade, because I wanted to be part of the stage, but I was like so scared and so nervous. So I did that for a few years, and then I did like Music Man, and then I just like loved it. But then once I got into high school, I didn't really pursue it anymore because I guess, you know, I just, change of crowds, and you know, like I went through my high school phase, but I still love performing. I was part of marching band, jazz band. I was part of a hip hop club. Like I just really love performing. And then I don't know, maybe try to keep a story short because it's kind of long. I went to the University of Minnesota to study biology, and I did not like it at all. And I did a lot of reflection, and then I ended up chasing that feeling I had when I did perform in middle school and high school. And I actually did some small community theater work in the Minneapolis area, and I performed for some local clubs. Like I was casted for their productions and whatnot. And it was just like that high that I felt as a kid. And I'm like, man, I think this is what I want to do. And then eventually I went to LA for this acting showcase. And then I got some offers to be represented there. And then I decided to leave the University of Minnesota and move to New York City when I was like 19, because an agent offered me something to be represented and to give it a shot. So then I lived in New York City for about a year, year and a half, and I like studied at some studios. But then I realized, man, I really need some serious training. So then I then went to Rutgers in New Jersey. And then was there, and then I don't know, fast forward, you know, I'm out of Rutgers, and then the pandemic happened, so everything slowed down. But then I was doing some virtual readings for some plays, and one virtual reading was directed by Jen Chang. And then she out of nowhere emailed me saying, "Hey, Randy, I'm doing a play in DC. Would you like to audition for it? I think you would be great for the role." And I was like, "Yeah, of course." And then did the whole process, and eventually, bam, got the role.
Wow, that's so cool, and then how it ties in. Well, thanks for joining us. It sounds like a really fascinating show. So just to remind everyone, it's called The Great Leap at Roundhouse Theater in Bethesda. It's running now through December 5th. And then if for whatever reason you can't get out to the theater, it will also be streaming on demand starting November 26th. So, hey, maybe something you can tune in over Thanksgiving weekend and, you know, watch with the family from home, too. So, hey, thanks so much for joining us. It sounds great.
No, yeah. Thank you for having me. I'm so sorry that I couldn't really say much about the play just because I'm really bad with spoilers, but please, please come out to see it. It is definitely worth watching.
Oh, it's probably better that you danced around it nicely. All right. Thanks so much. Nice meeting you. We'll talk to you soon.
Perfect. Thank you, Jason. Bye-bye.
All right. See ya.